support comes from Tub Cove. With over 49 years of remodeling bathrooms, Tub Cove can help simplify the process, offering tub and shower replacements and full bathroom remodels. Local and family-owned, with a showroom in Redmond. Designs and information at tubcove.com.
You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. If you headed to a public library in Seattle over the weekend, you may have found your local branch was closed. Last week, Seattle Public Library announced it was shortening hours for several branches across the city because of staffing challenges. Many of the shortened hours and closures are happening on weekends, and they're scheduled to last through the beginning of June. But staffing relief doesn't appear to be coming anytime soon. The library system implemented a hiring freeze in tandem with Mayor Bruce Harrell's citywide policy for executive departments, and that's left some librarians worried that these limited hours may not be temporary. We wanted to hear from someone who knows firsthand the many roles a public library can serve in the community and what it means when those services are reduced. Ann Sisney is the president of AFSCME Local 2083, which represents Seattle library workers. Hi, Ann. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
So what was your reaction when you heard about these shortened hours and closures?
So I was relieved when we heard about the reduction in hours because the way that things have been going, we've been very short-staffed for months, and that has meant that when one or two people call it out sick, we have to close a building because we don't have enough people to safely operate that building, which means anybody who was planning to do work there or meet a patron or community partner there can't do that, and whole groups of staff are suddenly being redeployed to other libraries to keep those libraries open, and then when the building is closed without notice, people can come expecting to be able to use the library and they're surprised and disappointed. And so the pattern of unexpected library closures that we had been experiencing really hasn't been fair to patrons or to staff. And the only way forward to solve this right now, until we know that we have the funding to hire enough staff to provide regular services of the kind that we need and want to provide, is to scale back our hours to match the staffing that we have.
Because as you said, the unpredictability of what was happening before, it was bad for patrons, it was bad for staff members. Talk to me about the increase in minimum staffing at Seattle Public Library locations, because the hiring freeze is one thing. Seattle Public Library has chosen to go along with the mayor's hiring freeze. It wasn't obligated to, but it has chosen to be a part of that. But another reason for the shortage that's being blamed is that there's been an increase in how many people it takes to just keep a library branch open. What's behind the need for more library workers on a given shift?
I would say there hasn't actually been an increase in the number of workers it takes to operate the library on a minimum shift. There's been an acknowledgement recently of the number of workers that it actually takes to operate a library and keep a safe environment fully functioning for the public to use that building. We have been operating throughout the years on minimum staffing in practice. In practice, when we open a building, we know that we need a certain number of people with a certain set of skills and backgrounds in order to provide library services. And that number has increased in recent years because factors in the community have brought more needs into our buildings. And it's really important that whoever's working in the library be ready to meet every person, regardless of what exactly their need is, what language they speak, what they've experienced that day that they may be bringing into the library. We need to be able to meet every person's need to the best of our ability while maintaining a safe environment for everybody else. And the number of staff that it takes to do that has increased over time. That increase happened before minimum staffing was raised on paper. So recently, the number of staff it takes to minimally run a building was increased on paper. And that is just a reflection of the reality on the ground that we've been experiencing for, I would say, years, actually.
Yeah. And it has to do with behavioral health issues, with some security concerns that have been reported. And this is affecting, you know, how much the library can stay open. Do your librarians report that they feel comfortable when they're at work? I mean, now with this staffing level that exists on paper, are they feeling like this is appropriate, or are they still feeling like they need more support when they are working a regular library shift?
Staff feel safest and best supported when they have a strong and consistent team of colleagues, and when they're working in the community that they've built relationships with, so that whoever comes in the door, we know each other, we have a basic idea of who has what kind of need, who has what kind of challenge when they come into the building. It's much easier to manage that when things are stable, predictable, and fully staffed. The minimum staffing levels that we have right now are a big piece of that, but having buildings that are predictably, stably staffed is the other big piece that we were not able to meet before the budget crisis, before the hiring freeze, and that we hope to build up to. But to do that, we really need to be fully funded so that we can be fully staffed.
So most library locations will have scheduled closures between now and June. For example, Beacon Hill is going to be closed on several Sundays. Fremont will be closed Fridays. The Northgate branch is going to be closed on Saturdays. The full list of closures and reduced hours is up on the Seattle Public Library website. Some locations won't see a schedule change at all. The Central Library branch, University branch. Overall, how do you think that this is going to impact service for patrons?
I think frontline staff, myself included, have not had enough time with that list to really wrap our heads around what effect we think it will have. I do know that library administration has really prioritized trying to make sure that there is a building open at all times within a reasonable distance of the people who might need to use the library, and I do appreciate that approach. It's not a simple roster of closures because we're trying to provide equitable distribution of services.
What do you want city leaders to know as they go into these really difficult budget conversations about the needs of the library system? And what do you want people who are patrons of the library system to know that it's going to take to keep the libraries open and available to everybody?
I know that city leaders know this, but it's always good to remind them that the library actually has a role in just about every initiative that any city council member ever puts forward. And we're only able to perform that role if we are funded and staffed adequately. There's a real tendency of people to think about the library the way they thought about it when they were little kids, as a quiet place where there are story times and everything's peaceful, where folks are very, very mission driven, which is true, and will probably keep calm and carry on come what may. And we are at the point now that we just cannot do that. We cannot stretch our services any further. We have to contract. And if we're contracting right now, and the city is still facing the kind of crises that it's been facing, where the library does have a role at every front, we have to be funded. And if we are funded, then we'll be able to support the mayor and city council in addressing many of the issues that everybody in Seattle is facing that they would like to solve. So help us be partners in that work and fund us so that that's possible.
It's going to be, again, some really tough conversations as the city is facing this $240 million gap. But I really appreciate hearing about what the library system is facing. And I think a lot of people will be surprised to understand from your perspective how lean things have been in recent years and how, you know, much this scheduling change from your perspective has been, you know, a long time coming. Ann Sisney is the president of AFSCME Local 2083, which represents Seattle library workers. Thank you very much for sharing what's going on with the libraries, Ann. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
We reached out to Seattle Public Library's chief librarian and executive director, Tom Fay, for comment about the reduced library hours. One of our producers recorded his emailed statement.
The Seattle Public Library understands how important libraries are to Soundside listeners and to all residents of our great city of literature. Please know we are working hard to identify and implement solutions to our staffing capacity challenges. By implementing this temporary schedule, which we wish we did not have to do, we seek to avoid unplanned closures that are even more difficult for our patrons.
Fay also said that if a branch's hours are reduced, holds at that branch will be extended and book drops will remain open. He also said that ebooks and audiobooks are available through the library's website 24/7. We did reach out to Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell's office as well to get some insight on the hiring freeze and the $240 million budget gap that's impacting agencies across the city, including libraries. Again, a Soundside producer here will read the emailed statement from Mayor Harrell's office.
As a non-executive city department, SPL has the authority to implement its own hiring policies. To address longstanding budget and operational challenges, SPL has implemented its own hiring freeze in parallel with Mayor Harrell's hiring freeze for executive city departments. The library has been working closely with our office and the city budget office to identify staffing solutions that meet immediate needs. Chief Librarian Tom Fay has approved several exemptions to this, and SPL is now in the process of hiring temporary staff to help keep branches open. However, it will take several weeks to fully onboard new staff and better stabilize hours.
And we'll have more information about SPL branch closures on our website, kuow.org. Thanks for listening to Soundside. This show is only possible because listeners support us. If you're able to give right now, please check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at kuow.org.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.